Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Right now, almost 47 million Americans live in poverty. That sobering number is according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And more sobering still, that number has not significantly changed in 4 years, meaning it hasn't actually improved in 4 years. And the poverty rate now is actually higher than it was in 2007, the year before the Great Recession. So it's time for some new thinking about poverty in America, which is why this month the Urban Institute launched a new U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty. It brings together 24 thinkers from across the country and across the political spectrum. Joining us now are two of those thinkers, including David Elwood. He's the chair of the U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty and economics professor at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Professor Elwood, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Beth Babcock, a member of the U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty and president and CEO of the Crittenden's Women's Union. Beth, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
So first of all, I mean, before we get into why and how this new U.S. partnership on mobility from poverty is different, David and Beth, I wonder if I might start by just getting a quick understanding from you about your understanding of the significance and shape of poverty in America today. I just gave a couple numbers still. We could dive into them even deeper. But how bad is the problem, David?
Well, I myself have worked on poverty in various forms throughout the years. In fact, during the Clinton administration, I was one of the people that helped lead the welfare reform effort. And I think the most striking feature about poverty in the United States, besides the fact that it is high, is the enormous challenges people face in actually leaving poverty.
Right.
The real goal is not to somehow get people $1 above the poverty line or something of that sort. It's really to give people the opportunity to move up and move out and move into a middle-class existence. And that has proven to be vastly more difficult than most people would like. And it really is contributing to the sense of a loss of any real sense of future, the American dream, so many other features that really trouble us. So
yeah.
I think the nature of American poverty is complicated and the like. But there is no question that the goal has to be not really conquering poverty per se, but finding ways for people really to make a bridge to real mobility and real opportunity.
Well, in fact, I was looking back at research done a couple years ago by Raj Chetty, including others, and Raj is on your group, by the way,
yes,
who found that, you know, the odds of a child moving from the bottom fifth of the income distribution to the top fifth in America, it's less than 1 in 10. And for children born into working class or lower middle class families, the probability of moving up has actually fallen significantly. So the mobility piece, as you're talking about, the numbers are pretty stark. But Beth Babcock, you know, your sense about the core challenges right now.
Well, I think that we've seen over the past few decades a drastic change in what it takes to get out of poverty. And when I first started working with low-income families in the early 1980s, I think at that point, just helping families get into a union job or another public sector job would be a way out of poverty for a family. And so it was a pretty straightforward path. But in today's America, the knowledge-based economy has really changed this equation so that low-income families really have to get education beyond high school, which most families in poverty, the majority, don't have, and they need to get it in a field that is going to pay a family-sustaining wage once they get that education. And the process of taking care of families, working, going to school at the same time, oftentimes with single-parent households, makes the challenge of moving ahead one that is really, really daunting.
Yeah. So I'm curious, how is this new group and this new partnership then different than other efforts we've seen before? Because for exactly the reasons both of you just outlined, I mean, the problem of poverty and mobility is persistent in America. So what's your approach, or how is your approach different this time around to find a solution to that, David Elwood?
Well, let me just say there are a couple really critical features here. The first is a recognition that the solutions aren't going to come with sort of tinkering with existing programs, a little bit more here, a little bit there. I think fundamentally this is a group that says, let's take the very top scholars in the field, in lots of different parts of the field, including Raj Chetty, as you mentioned, but people who are who study families, people who think hard about what the role of race is in America and so on, and couple them with people like Beth who have put together programs that are really quite compelling and exciting, and put them together in a room and essentially in a series of meetings, site visits and the like, and essentially say, what is it going to take to dramatically increase the upward mobility of people out of poverty? This is not a commission to sort of say, how should we change the food stamps program or how should we tinker with this or that. It really says, what are the most important big ideas out there? And I should emphasize, this is being funded by the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, largely because there's a sense that we need to think about bigger and different ideas. And those ideas will surely involve crossing boundaries and crossing programs and the like.
Right. So
and I think it's also partly why the solutions are likely to come at the state and local level, much more than, you know, some big new initiative at the federal level all by itself.
Yeah. So really interesting point, David Aylward, and I want to turn to Beth Babcock on this, because I hear the call for big thinking ideas when it comes to, you know, out of the box creativity on solving poverty in America. But big ideas very frequently run into ideology. And you've got folks from across the political spectrum on this new team, on this new partnership. I mean, can you resolve what may be fundamental ideological differences between thinkers on your group, those who might think that solutions should be more market-based versus those who might think solutions should be more government-based?
Well, I think one of the things that David told me about this group and his intentions for the group that I found compelling was that we weren't going to expect the group to reach 100% consensus on everything, but we're going to be prepared to surface what we thought were the most opportune things that could be tried, that the majority of folks could get behind, and probably would be trying things across the ideological spectrum. So the idea was not for one perfect answer, the solution to poverty, but to find maybe several approaches or ideas that could be tried that may well move the needle. And I think the focus on application, on actually trying to do something, not just talk about ideas, but actually try to do something, was what I found so very compelling. And the idea of doing that in a way that cross-pollinates people from many different political approaches, to me, seemed like the best way to try to get something done.
Right, which makes me think, David Aylward, that your focus on the state and local level may be the smartest thing, right? Because it seems as if states and cities and towns are much more willing to experiment or try different things that aren't necessarily driven by ideology versus what the motivation might be coming from Washington.
Yeah, and I really would say, I don't mean to let Washington off the hook. I certainly hope we have ideas that are critically important at all levels. But, you know, one of the frustrations, I think, for many people in this country is that so many things are framed primarily by ideology. And I think this is a problem that, in fact, people on the right as well as the left are deeply concerned about the nature of poverty, and that people may get upset about whether you spend more money or less money, but the notion that we ought to provide ladders, real ladders of opportunity, real ladders of mobility, is not controversial, and it's not left or right. And so I think the bigger challenge is actually not the left-right divide. The bigger challenge is to have a group of people, all of whom are committed to doing something, who are also deeply committed to listening to each other. We all know we're in a bad place right now, and so only hope is to bring a combination, lots of ideas are out there, so how are we going to bring those pieces together,
right,
and really make something that's credible?
Well, you've given yourself 2 years to get the ball rolling on this new effort, and we hope to stay in touch with you as time goes by. David Aylward is professor of economics at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and chair of the new U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty. He's the former dean of the Kennedy School as well. Pleasure to speak with you as always, David Aylward. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Beth Babcock, president and CEO of the Crittenden Women's Union, a nonprofit that helps women and families overcome poverty. She's also a member of the new U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty. Beth Babcock, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.